Your toil is not in vain. We've recently been talking about increasing in our service to God and becoming better Christians. And if we're not careful when we talk about those things and we review our life and we work so very hard to become a better Christian, it can sort of get us down a little bit. We can become a little impatient with ourselves, saying, you know, I thought I'd be doing a little bit better than I am right now, or I thought I'd be improving a little bit more, or, you know, why can't I quite grasp this or do this, something I really wanted to do? We can become impatient with ourselves, and we might become frustrated a little bit, and we can become down. And so since we've been talking about those things, I wanted to talk about the fact that our toil is not in vain. As we try to improve in our service to God, and God wants us to do that, that's work, that's toil, that challenges us. And we need to understand that it's not in vain. I was talking with Scott Flatt the other day, and he again mentioned the fact that you can tell there's an energy in the congregation. You can tell that before we even moved here that the brethren were saying, you know, we want to work, we want to do more. And we've been doing that, and we're successful with that, and we're challenging ourselves in doing that. I've got to confess to you, I was a little afraid the last few weeks. The young ladies have had their class together. They've been studying for some time together. They've been stuck with me as a teacher. But I tell you what, some of the best classes I've ever been a part of. And so we started, we asked ourselves, what do we want to study next? The young ladies wanted to study, how can I become a better young woman, a godly young woman. And then decide, well, let's invite some of the older women to come teach the class. Well, I didn't really think about it. Here we just draw up a schedule and I send it off to the elders. And then we invite several women to come and teach the class. And you know what? There's been nothing but positive response to that. Well, then about the same time, Josiah has been one pushing a class for the young men for about 4 months or more. And so I said, well, let's wait till the first of the year. Heath will be here. And so here comes the first of the year. And so we draw up a class, and then we start talking about, well, how about we have some of the men teach that class? Then how about we just have all the men come to that class? And I'm saying, boy, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for this or not. Maybe this is a little too much. Send it off to the elders. Elders talk about it. Positive response there. And you know, I've not had one even sense of a negative attitude. And that's a good thing. Our toil is not in vain. Toil is hard work. I came to the building. I spend just a few minutes, sometimes on Saturday, just to get things set up. And I find Scott Love, Donnie Dennis, and their boys, and their trucks are full of brush. And they're in here all sweaty and everything. That's toil. Isn't that what you think about when you talk about toil? Sometimes I think Christians think that being a Christian and going to church is like going on vacation. You know, it's very little effort. It's a lot of fun. But that's not the way that it is it? I don't know about you. Did it cross your mind today what else you could be doing besides coming to assemble with the saints? Did it cross your mind how nice it would be to sleep in this morning? It did mine. It sure would be nice to sleep in this morning. But no, what did we do? We got up and we got ourselves ready and we came to church. We had our mind on what we were doing. We had prepared the night before, maybe a few days before. That is toil. That is work. Even our assembly here, and for some of us it's much more difficult than others to get here, as they have the labor, the illnesses which they deal with. For most of us, though, it's pretty easy. Yet it's a labor to get our Bible class ready, to come to Bible class having read, what was our Bible class over? 4 chapters of the Old Testament. Having read that and thought about it, ready to discuss it, filled out the questions in the book. A lot of times I look to see how many questions there are to fill out. Do you do that? Is this a 1-page lesson or a 2-page lesson? I do that. Because what we're going through is some labor, it's some toil, it is some work. It's not 5 minutes and you're done. Some labor and some toil. Many other things we could talk about, but as we've already read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, our toil is not in vain. And this morning I want to talk about why isn't it in vain? What is it that makes it worth all that we do? First of all, turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's not in vain. Your toil is not in vain because God is working through you. God is performing His work according to His will through you. That means you're going to have to work, labor, and toil. Philippians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 12, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," that is to say, all of us have some things we have to work through in regards to salvation. "For it is God who is at work in you." Now, isn't that a wonderful blessing? We talked today and this morning in our Bible class with the young adults. As Samuel had told the children of Israel that if they would obey God and not turn away from Him, that they would see the great things that He would do. And we asked ourselves, what are the great things God does today? For Christians and through Christians. And we listed off some of those. Chris Osborne said, helping people be saved, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And isn't that one of the greatest things we can witness in our lives, is to see souls won to Christ and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our labor, our work, our toil is not in vain because God is working through us to accomplish His will through our lives. Sometimes that's hard to see exactly what that is, isn't it? Scott, I wonder if you saw God working through you when y'all were picking up, cutting down trees and working, piling them in the back of the truck and taking them off wherever you took them. I don't know where you took them. Maybe they're still in your truck. I don't know. Do you see God working through you? We have our work day for everybody who can come. Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to be doing, I'm sure, some detestable things that nobody wants to do. And do we see God working through us to accomplish His will? Doing even such a mundane thing as that, instead of sleeping in on Saturday morning, He is. And we need to see that in our lives and realize that in our lives. And sometimes we do not know the people that we even touch with our lives. I remember a story, Beth and I don't know, I think it was before we had kids and we met Candace, and we were running around with Candace, and we'd invite Candace to come, and we'd go out and have pizza or something like that. Had no idea we were touching her life. She was going through a childhood crisis. She was going through the Mohawk stage, you know, and so we just loved her, and we'd take her with us. And it wasn't for years later we realized how we had touched her life just because we were willing to be a friend. And to spend time with her. She's a wonderful young lady with a beautiful family. Strong Christian woman now. We had no idea at the time what effect that was having. And sometimes we don't have any idea the effect that it has today as we lead our lives. We just go day to day and we know God is working through our lives to accomplish His will. We may not see it. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 as the Apostle Paul was talking to those at Thessalonica when he came and preached the gospel, that they did not accept it as the word of man but for what it really is, the word of God that performs its work in those who believe. Our toil is not in vain because God is accomplishing His work through us who believe as we go to His word and we apply it to our lives. As He works all things together for good to those who love the Lord, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Sometimes it's difficult to see what God is doing through our lives, but know this, and don't doubt it, that as a faithful Christian, God is performing His work and working His will through you. Don't doubt that. even though you may not be able to see what it is today. Maybe you'll see later the effect that it's had, but don't doubt it. God is working through you as His child. Well, our labor and our toil is not in vain because we personally benefit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'll turn your Bibles over there with me this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17. Well, let's go up to verse 16 to get started. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. I don't know if you noticed it's brighter in here today. Anybody notice that? That's one of the things that Scott and Donnie and their boys were doing. They cleaned up all the lights and replaced all the bulbs. And I looked at those things. I said, man, you can tell they are so much cleaner just looking at them. And I didn't see them when they're climbing up there. It had to be pretty hard to climb up there to do that. And so Donnie went back and turned on the lights. And I said, man, I can't believe the difference that makes. Well, they were here and they were working. And you know what? They had a good attitude and they were happy and smiling. And we were joking around a little bit. They were working for the Lord, doing what some may consider to be mundane, but very important, essential. They were happy and having fun and these types of things. The boys were out there working, doing all that. Saturday, when we come together to do our work, whatever it is, power blasting the restrooms or things outside or things inside or polishing pews or whatever it is, I don't know what we're going to be doing, but I do know this, that we're going to have a good time doing it. Because when we do the Lord's work, it strengthens us and it comforts us. So we personally benefit. Jesus says, as recorded in Acts 20:35, that it's more blessed to give than receive. So we're going to be giving on Saturday morning. And so we're going to be receiving the strength and the confidence that we receive as we are busy in the kingdom of the Lord. And turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and beginning in verse 17. Toiling for the Lord, we are storing up treasure in heaven. Donnie, were you looking at it yesterday? You were storing up treasure in heaven? Probably didn't feel like it, did it? You were just cutting down some branches and throwing them in a truck or something. But that's what we're doing. We are storing up treasure in heaven. Jesus talks about this. Paul does also here in verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And so we personally benefit. What's your bank account read in heaven? What's it read in heaven? Andrea has been working her first real job, and she likes getting those paychecks, putting them in the bank. And I tell you what, she's tight with that money now. She's tight. The other day, she asked me, says, have you seen my bank statement? I've seen everybody else's but mine. She's wanting to see what that thing said. And finally, it came in a few days later. And she was anxious to see what the total was. Between me and you, I think she's saving for a car. I don't blame her. I would be too. What's your bank account in heaven say? The things that we do here. Getting up this morning, coming to church, worshiping the Lord. You added a little bit to it. It sort of reminds me of an employee plan at work, a 401k. You know, if there's anything such as free money, this is it. Because a 401k, some of them have the employer matching, and you know, you put some in and the employer matches up to so much, and that's money you didn't earn. If you wouldn't have put your part in there, employer never put his part in there either. That's pretty much free money. That's laying up treasure in a 401k. And when we do the work, the labor, the toil of the kingdom of heaven, we're laying up treasure in heaven. What does your bank account in heaven have in it? Well, not only are we working, God's working through us, we're personally benefit, but we're also helping every person in the congregation. Trevor, I don't know if you are helping with the lights or you're outside working. But does not everyone benefit here this morning from having brighter lights? I told Donnie, I said, you know what? We're going to be able to read better. And you know what? I can see my Bible better. I thought it was my eyes going out. I'm glad it was just the lights getting a little dimmer. And so, when we do the work, we help every person in the congregation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Verse 12, this is why we come together as a church, why we have elders and teachers, why we have Bible class, why we assemble together to stir up love and good works. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's why we were here. It takes every person doing their work in the Lord's church. Look at verse 16. From whom, that's from Christ, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Now get this. Every person supplies something. Every person supplies something. From the youngest Christians who are just getting a good start to the older Christians. And the best they can do most of the time is just to get here and make it home. To the middle-aged who are in the prime of life, who have the energy, the ability, the physical strength to do more than they've ever done before their body begins to run down even more and break down even more. And then if the Lord allows them one day, it's all they're going to be able to do is to walk in the door and get home and just totally exhausted going to church. So every joint, every person, when we do our work in the Lord, you are helping the Lord's church and you are helping this congregation according to the proper working of each individual part. Get that. Each individual part working together, having something to do, what is the result? Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The fact that you are here today, in whatever capacity you are here, whether you are leading the songs or you're teaching the classes or you're participating in the singing or you're participating in the classes, in everything that we do, you are building those around you up. It's important that you're here. It's important the things that you're doing. And it has a positive result on everyone else. That reminds me of the song number 620, "There's Room in the Kingdom, There is Work That We All Can Do." What would it be like if you were not here? What would it be like if no one was here? What would it be like if there was no singing, no Lord's Supper, no prayers, no encouragement, and no worship? What would it be like if the lights were out and nobody was here? Now think about what it's like because the lights are on and you are here and we are doing these things. What is the result? You are responsible for that result. Your toil and your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God is working through you. You personally benefit, and every person as a member of this congregation benefits from you doing your work in the Lord. You also benefit because of this fact. God will not forget what you've done. God will not forget what you have done. Turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. What it is. Your presence here, your participation today, if you're able to come Saturday at our work day then, or the things you may do throughout the week to prepare to be here to help someone else who's a brother or sister in Christ, make a phone call, make a visit, take over a meal, pray for someone. This shows us God's attitude toward your work. Chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name. What does that mean? Love toward His name. Name toward His your love toward His authority and what He has commanded in His Word, and you love that, therefore you're out diligently doing it in your life. Therefore you are working. And God's not going to forget it. God's not going to forget it. And this tells us that He appreciates what you are doing. That He looks down upon you. He's well pleased at your behavior and the things that you are doing as His child. And when judgment day comes and when you enter into heaven, He's not going to forget the days you came and cleaned the lights, sawed down some branches and threw them in a pickup truck, and the days you cleaned the bathrooms and vacuumed the walk, and the days you were so ill, and just the adversities of life that you planned your whole week to just come here one time, two times, maybe three times during the week, and that's all you could muster in all of your being. He's not going to forget it. It means something to Him. He's not going to forget it. It means something to God as He looks down upon us as His children. God punished the Jews. He told them He was going to do this. He brought Babylon upon them. He destroyed them, taking them into Babylonian captivity yet 100 years before that. He told them this, Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but, God says, I will not forget you. And God will not forget you. And God will not forget what you have done for all of eternity. Your toil is not in vain. God is working through you. You personally benefit. You are an encouragement to each person here. He will not forget the things that you do, and you will be glorified one day with Jesus Christ. When He returns, turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Think about the day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. All of the suffering that Christians may do and the difficult times that they may see, in those who are persecuted for their faith, and those who are drug off to the lion's den, to those who may have had to leave mother, father, brother, and sister. Whatever it is, that's nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us one day. And you think of the great glory when being thrown to the lions, to be crucified, to be burned alive. When you say that's nothing compared to the glory to be revealed, how great is that glory? More than we can begin to even imagine. The glory that we are yet to see one day. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. When Jesus Christ appears, we are going to be like Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, describes this coming. When Jesus Christ comes with the shout of the angels, and we will be like Him. Jesus Christ in all of His glory, all the majesty of heaven, as He is revealed from the sky, you will be like Him. And you will see Him for what He really is. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Jesus will transform you. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. When Jesus Christ comes, the future glory which we will share with Him will be revealed. We will be like Him. We will be transformed by Him. And turn your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul tells us to encourage one another with these words, beginning in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. Try to imagine what this is going to be like when Jesus returns. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. This is our future glory. We will be transformed to be like Jesus when He comes. The grand reunion of all the saints in the air. Your toil is not in vain. At judgment time, you will receive a great reward. Two more scriptures. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Here the Apostle Paul, quoting from the Old Testament, speaking of our reward which we have from God, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. There is awaiting a reward that is greater than anything you and I can imagine. Indeed, these things are described in the greatest detail in the book of Revelation when we come to the end of the book, chapters 21 and chapter 22, and yet it's so incredible and so astounding, the description that is given there, that it's practically unfathomable. Just a few verses, chapter 21. Here John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these things are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Chapter 22, "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." And I look forward to the day when I see the face of God and the face of Jesus Christ as they sit upon the throne of God. The great glory that is awaiting you who believe and faithfully serve our God and Savior. Your toil is not in vain. God is accomplishing His work through you. You personally benefit. You are helping the church and this congregation. God will not forget what you are doing, and you will be glorified and rewarded one day. Your labor, your toil is not in vain. And thank God that is not. We're going to extend the gospel invitation, number 508, if you want to turn your songbooks to there. Number 508. The chorus of this song says, "Toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope and trust, let us watch and pray and labor till the Master comes. Because your toil is not in vain. You'll be glorified more than you can even imagine on the day He returns. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one. Jesus simply asks us to believe in Him, to repent of our sins, confess that He is the Son of God, to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and we'll be a disciple of Jesus Christ, toiling in His kingdom. Or if you've turned from the Word of God, you too can correct your life today. If we can help you in any way, I want you to step to the front now as we stand and sing.